From 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 11 and 16 to 23. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast about human leaders, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or the present or the future. All belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Amen.
I was remarking before the service, it's amazing that when you're not leading worship or helping to lead worship for a couple of weeks and you leave your gown hanging in the wardrobe in the vestry, it actually shrinks and gets a lot tighter when you come to put it back on again. Rebellion, individualism, anti-authoritarianism, progressive thought. No, it's not the last meeting of the church council. I'm talking about Indi, I-N-D-I-E. Now, Indi is a new step from punk. And some of you might have been able to grow up well with punk. Punk, as you know, was born in the mid-70s when some of us were just finishing our first bit of university. It took the same kind of rebellious spirit that was part of the 60s, part of that protest music that was very much part of the 60s, and played it faster and played it more aggressively. Punk bands were fiercely independent, and they prided themselves on a kind of do-it-yourself ideal. And indie bands have gone the same way. They've begun to record and distribute their own records, promote their own shows, do things with homemade concert posters, flyers, and all the rest of it. And indie music, if you're into that, is basically anti-corporate, anti-commercial, anti-little yellow smiley logos. And one of the things that is now catching on from that is that those who work in the institutes of higher education, universities, are finding that many are now shifting in education, shifting from mortarboards and graduate robes for indie expressions. And I've just been looking at some Facebook photos from our daughter who is in Singapore with a whole bunch of other freeloaders from Adelaide University on a junket for a graduation ceremony, where it's been very, very formal. And I want you to have a look at a group of indie folks in Japan who've decided that they want to go in a slightly different way. So can we have the first of the graduation pictures? This is a graduation picture. These are the people all dressed up, ready for their graduation. Not in ways that we would imagine, but they've been asked, and this is Japan, they've been asked to pick their favourite TV cartoon characters and dress up so for their graduation. And part of the expression of doing that was to suggest that they needed to step away from formality. So thanks for that, and there will be something else a little bit later. Indie education describes a kind of an anti-institutional approach to education in which people take education into their own hands. And part of it is foregoing conventional learning environments and tools for others. And part of my postgraduate stuff, and that which is now changing at our own Uniting College, is to do some of that. Now people are moving towards using wikis a lot more, free online videos, blogs, open source textbooks, experiential learning, and so on. And one of the great indie educators in the UK, a man called Brian Frank, sees this growing acceptance of self-directed learning as moving away from the tyranny of credentials. And I shared with some others just recently part of the experience of people using their credentials to, in other words, say who they are. I was with a group of fellow ministers in a room, and one of the early topics was how big is your congregation, as you might expect. The other bit is that people were talking about the letters that they had after their name. It's a kind of a game, you know. What do you have, and how many do you have? And a couple of us decided that we would no longer play that game, and we would just be known by our own names, like Bruce or Graham and so on, and we would eschew a lot of that other usage of what particular prefix you could put in front of your name, like doctor and so on. And it was part of this move to suggest that what you know is more important than perhaps where you learned it and the particular credentials that you've been given. So it's taking this ethos of indie rock and applying it to education. Do it yourself, individualism, easy access to information for everyone and so on. Now, some have criticised this, saying, well, one day these rebellious teenagers will grow up, they'll go to university and get proper credentials and a real job. But past movements were similarly dismissed. iPods replaced CDs. Reading books in paper became reading books on Kindle. Facebook became a new way of forming community. A belief in a round earth began to challenge other views, and so on. The reason why I mention all this is that the reading that Dawn shared with us this morning is an indie reading. St. Paul is teaching us a lesson, but he's teaching us a lesson in an indie format. Now, indies, as I said, are concerned with where they learn, what they learn, and how they learn. And St. Paul wants to say these things are important for us as people of the faith as well. As we grow up in the Christian life, where we build that faith, what we build as that faith, and how we build that faith are crucial to our identity. So where to build? Every building, as you know, begins with a foundation. And the foundation of the indie movement is acquiring knowledge. But the acquiring of the knowledge is no matter how you do it. And that's the bottom line that supports everything else. And Paul's indie movement has a foundation as well. Part of the context out of which St. Paul speaks is a slippery cultural context. The Corinthians have been buffeted and challenged by others and confused as to what or who are the particular facets of their faith. They've been told that some aspects are worthy, some people who speak to them, preach to them, lead them are worthy, and others are not. there are certain persons who are unacceptable. And the whole issue of gender, which has part-riven our church, comes out of this Corinthian context. St. Paul wants to say that the Corinthians are falling down because they are founding their status on who had developed their faith. They become part of spiritual name droppers. They boast about the prestige of those who taught them, where they taught them, what they taught them, and what particular groups they belonged to. So St. Paul uses a movement from an agricultural metaphor to try and demonstrate the equality and inclusiveness of all groups of believers. And he does it with a construction metaphor, if you like. And as a skilled craftsman, he lays a foundation that he says begins at the beginning of all. He says, that which is at the beginning, that which is foundational to all, to our faith, is the wisdom of Christ. Now, there are some who say, well, the wisdom of Christ is to exclude others for certain reasons and include others for other reasons. And St. Paul says, you misunderstand the whole notion of what is wisdom. Our wisdom is foolish to the world. It is not the wisdom of me, St. Paul, or of any other human leader. It is spirit taught, and it is a wisdom that is available and to be taken by all. The foundation is simply Christ. And that is enough and ought to be obvious. I was at a gathering, clergy gathering in the United States once, where a minister told, speaking to a bunch of people, including children, the classic joke, you know, about the foundation is Christ. He says, he's talking to the children. He said, children, what is brown, has a bushy tail, lives in trees and eats nuts? And one child shouts out in response, I think it's a squirrel, but here in church it's definitely Jesus. And it sounds like whatever you come up with, Jesus is the right answer. And in fact, that's the case. It is so. What is the foundation that we have as a community here? That foundation of our faith is Jesus Christ. It is in the understandings of forgiveness, redemption, and guidance for our lives. We all have the same bottom line, if you like. That foundation is Jesus Christ. So what to build? Now, although the hallowed halls of education appear to be unimportant to Indies, the building does have some importance. And it's interesting to take a look at the biblical survey, if you like, of the location of God's presence and how God is present with us. God is omnipresent, we say that, and yet people have known God in some kind of tangible way to reside in specific places. So we talk about God in church and so on. And I just want to run through, just think of this. In Genesis 11, which is the story of Babel, God is in the heavens and people try to build a tower to reach God. In Exodus 20, God is atop a mountain and people are terrified to approach God. A little bit later on, five chapters later in Exodus, God is in a tabernacle and the people carry that tabernacle with them wherever they go so that God's presence is with them on their journey. Drop on into Chronicles, and God is in a temple. It is a permanent residence. It is a permanent home for God's presence on earth. You go to the New Testament, to Mark 15, and God is on the loose. The temple veil is torn. But now it's not just the priests who can access God, everyone can access God. And in the early part of the first letter to the Corinthians, God now is in a human temple. We have become the place and the location of God. We are God's home. God's presence is with us in the way that God dwells in us and we dwell in God. And if you can try and grasp that, it's an incredible move in those two verses, 16 and 17. God's presence moves from a cosmic understanding, a corporate understanding, to an individual understanding. God frees himself from physical buildings, from corporate lockup, and God is encountered in the people that God inhabits. And finally, how to build. Well, we've already said the foundation is Jesus Christ. The building is us, the people of God. And with respect to the building plan, St. Paul says two things. Firstly, the plan is always counterintuitive. The Christian life, and we sort of touched on this at Gateways on Friday night, requires downward mobility in culture's eyes. And think of ways in which that really is the case. Like truly forgiving those who wrong us, being humble, serving those who need, responding to the poor, accepting the refugee. All those things really are societal foolishness. So if we ever feel that living our faith is strange to those who are round about us, then we're probably in the best of places. If our lives blend in and don't seem counter-cultural, it just could be that we are building our lives on spiritual foolishness. Our spiritual growth does not depend on who teaches us, where we go to church, or what we've read recently. And you can see that indie spirit alive in St. Paul's words. He says we have everything we need in order to grow to be the people of God, because God grows in us and God has given us all good things. The foundation is Christ. The building that contains God's presence is us. The way our lives are built feel both countercultural and universal at the same time. And for that reason, we become uniquely present in our countercultural way, in the way in which we engage and form with society. And I just want to present for you a second picture. Is that if that is not you, if that is not the way in which you encounter, share and shape with society, then maybe you misunderstand the faith. And it doesn't mean you've got to go out and dress like the cartoon characters. It would mean that you are present in the midst, but also we are doing those things which are different, which are exciting, which are challenging, which are leading in new directions. And so, as St. Paul says in other places, we become fools for Christ, which in a way is a good way to be and a good way to end.